The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Well, the truth is, with all the hustle and bustle of this time of year, I thought it'd be a good idea that we remind ourselves of what joy is all about and what brings us joy and why Christmas is so important. So I found a list of things that said that kind of coincided with this topic, why Christmas is so important. And the first one is that without Christmas, the fruitcake market would completely collapse. Does anybody ever buy fruitcakes besides at Christmas time and then throw them out right after, right? Yeah, right. Our boring, uneventful lives would have no stress at all without Christmas. I might. Eggnog would just be a slimy, high cholesterol beverage if it wasn't for Christmas. Santa would be a strange fat man with a poor fashion sense. You'd have to spend your own money buying stuff that doesn't fit, right? That's pretty good. We would never wonder if reindeer really know how to fly. But the number one reason that Christmas is important is without Christmas, there would be no Easter. Right? Andy made reference to that when he was talking. Well, I brought some joy with me this morning, and I had a couple other things that I wanted to use as illustrations for joy. But the first one that I have this morning is I have joy in a candy bar. Almond joy. It's sweet, isn't it? Well, you know, this is the kind, the significance of this is that the kind of joy that we receive from Christ is that it's very sweet. It's wonderful. The other two things I couldn't find. Do they still make joy dishwashing liquid? Okay, well, they don't sell it in Tuppers Plains. So I was looking for that. And because the significance of the kind of joy that we receive from Christ is the kind of joy that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? And the last thing, I remember when I was a kid, we used to have Ataris. You know, I mean, I'm dating myself. I realize that. But Space Invaders, that's right. I used to like the little game with the tanks, you know, where you move the tanks around and fire at each other. But anyhow, they had joysticks, right? And joysticks are for direction. And the good thing about the kind of joy that we have from Jesus is it gives us direction for our life. In fact, with that joy, if we will use it, if we will understand it, if we will follow His commandments, we can direct our life in such a way that we will be filled with joy. Yes, sir. Amen? Okay. But all these things, you know, we talk about external joy. And we look for external things that bring us joy, you know, like guns. If a person likes guns, if a person likes clothing, you know, no matter what, whatever it is, we like cars, those kind of things bring us joy. But that's fleeting joy. That's only for a season. That's only for a short period of time that we have any kind of joy like that. That's not the kind of joy that we want to focus on. We want to focus on the joy that comes through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, I want to read a scripture. We've already read that scripture, I think, this morning in Luke. Chapter 2, and this is the account of the wise men. Verse 8. Now there were there in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Joy. That's the kind of joy we're looking for. Not just something that's going to be temporary. We're looking for the lifelong joy that we can have in our lives. And yes, it is associated with a personality, the Savior, the Lord, the one that came to this earth for the purpose of saving all of mankind. You see, these shepherds were out in the fields, and this was next to Bethlehem. And history tells us that in the Bethlehem area is where they raised the sheep that was going to be used for the Passover lamb. So these shepherds were probably, they may have been hirelings that were out there taking care of sheep that was being prepared for the Passover lamb. Now, this is really significant when we think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem, and he was being prepared to be our Passover lamb and die for us, shed his blood, take our place on the cross. We have to see, in order to recognize the joy that we should have through this Christmas season, we've got to look beyond the birth to the cross. We've got to see him on the cross, and we've got to recognize the cross was the most significant part of his walking on the face of the earth. He came here as a man. God himself came to earth as a man, and he walked with power and authority as a man with supernatural power. As a man without spot or blemish, just like the lamb had to be without spot or blemish. And then his whole life was exemplary of what it means to walk with God. It was to be, you know, he was an example for all of us. But if he had just lived on the earth, it wouldn't have meant anything to us. He had to do more than that. He had to give up his life. He had to hang on the cross. He had to shed his blood. He gave himself. Don't let anybody ever tell you that they took his life. You know, there's down through history, they pointed fingers at the Romans, at the Jews, at all of us being responsible. But the fact is, yes, we're responsible because we have sin. And we are forgiven of that sin. But Jesus gave his life on the cross because he loves you and he loves me. He loves us so much. Hallelujah. This, all these things that I'm talking about this morning, I've been prepared. They were prepared by God. The word says from the foundation of the world. None of this, nothing that is happening in the world today is catching God off guard. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He prepared a way for us to be saved, to be prepared. And he is with us right now, even though this world is in turmoil. And things are going to get it worse, people. They're telling you that it's getting better. They're lying to you. I know you don't want to hear this. But they're just not telling you the truth. You cannot be in the condition that this nation and the world is in. Everybody is in debt to everyone else. Where's the money going to come from? Oh, the Fed will print it. And that's what they're doing. You know what that's going to cause? Inflation. Listen, I don't care what's going on in the world. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Yes, Jesus is my King, my Lord. And I'm going to trust in him. And I'm telling you today, you need to trust in the Lord. If you don't have the kind of relationship with your Lord and Savior where every day you can trust him for your food on the table, you need that kind of relationship with him. You better get it right with him. I love you enough to tell you these things. In many pulpits in America this morning, they're getting up and they're telling people, oh, it's wonderful. Everything's going to be okay. You're blessed. You're going to be blessed in everything that you do. Hallelujah. We are blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have a blessed Savior. But we need to look with eyes that can see. We need to recognize there is a reality of what is happening. We need to know Jesus Christ is coming soon. This is not make-believe. See, the problem is that all our lives, we have heard Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Well, to us, we thought that meant tomorrow. Right? Because that's our short attention span. We expect, well, he hasn't come. We've been hearing that all our life. He hasn't come. Listen, our time frame is not God's time frame. But in the time frame of what is taking place in the world today, the reality is Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, he's not going to come back as a little lamb cuddling up to people. He's going to come back like a lion. And he's going to set up his kingdom on this earth. And those who refuse to worship him will be destroyed. And those who are alive and remain will worship him because they know him and they love him. And those who do not will be forced because he will rule with a rod of iron, it says. That's the King of Kings. That's the Lord of Lords. I choose to worship him. I choose to praise him. I choose to stand for him in this life today. I choose to preach the word of God and say there is such a thing as sin. And sin is going to take people to hell. Turn from your unrighteousness and turn back to the living God. Amen. Amen. We need to hear that. We can't, you know, this political correctness these days, it's killing the church. I've never been very politically correct. And I'm never going to be. All I can tell you is what the Word of God says. There is a right way and there is a wrong way. The wrong way is very wide. And it leads to destruction. But there is a narrow gate that has been opened for us through the Son, Jesus Christ, that we can enter in. Let's accept it. Let's receive it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What we need to understand is that the shepherds were told that you should have great joy in your life because the Savior has come. Now, we got to understand that historically, they were expecting the Messiah, the Christ. In the Greek, it's referred to as the Christ. It's a derivative from the Hebrew. Christ is Christos. It means the same thing. It means anointed one. In Hebrew, Mashiach, or what we call Messiah, it also means anointed. So down through the history of man, there's been an oral tradition that there was going to come an anointed one. They didn't refer to him as the Messiah for many hundreds and thousands of years. Hundreds of years, anyhow. But they always referred to the one that is coming. The one. He's going to arrive. Do you realize that the world is expecting one to show up right now? Have you ever heard the rhetoric, the things? We just need a man that can lead this world and get us straightened out. Do you hear that stuff? There's a new world order that's being put into place. And they're talking about the one that the world wants to come. Let me tell you, it's not Christ. In fact, it's referred to in the Bible as the Antichrist, against Christ. When Jesus comes, he's going to destroy that one. But the world is even looking for a one. It's a shame they don't see the one has already come and the one is going to return. The anointed one. In the Old Testament, in Daniel chapter 5, verse 9, 25, or chapter 9, verse 25 and 26 is the first place the word Messiah is used in the Old Testament. And it is definitely a reference to the deliverer that was going to come in the future. In Jewish tradition, they talked about the one that's coming for about 4,000 years from the history, the beginning of history of mankind up to the actual coming of Jesus Christ. Moses was the first one to write anything about with what we refer to as the Bible. He wrote the Pentateuch, the Torah, or referred to as the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And he wrote those for about 1,400 years before Christ, as he was in the wilderness and God spoke to him. But you got to understand, Moses not only got his information directly from God, but he also got his information from oral tradition. You see, Moses was raised by his Jewish parents, his Jewish mother, when he was very young. And he heard all the Jewish stories about creation and about God, and he had these understandings of God that all the other Egyptians didn't have. And he was prepared. God prepared him to be a deliverer. And then later Moses said, there's going to be another one that's going to come. And he's going to be a lot greater, much greater than I am. And he's going to do wonderful things. And he was referring to the Messiah. So you see, even from the beginning of the writings of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, it says this: I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is the first place in the Bible that we see a reference to the coming one, the Messiah. And it makes it perfectly clear. The enemy is going to have a seed, and his seed is going to be bruised. His heel is going to be bruised. But the Messiah, the seed of God, is going to bruise. He's got that word there, bruise. It doesn't just mean bruise. It means stomp. Over and over. Over and over. You know how Jesus stomps the enemy over and over? You realize who stomps him? Who's the body? Hallelujah. We're the body of Christ, right? Jesus stomped him on the cross, and now he expects us to take our body parts and stomp him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We are the body.
Yes, sir.
And Satan gets stomped over and over and over when the body of Christ knows who they are in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We put him under our feet and we can jump up and down on him. Hallelujah. We can stomp him down. We can even grind him in. Do you realize this? We have power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ. We got to walk in these things today. That's why the world's in the condition it's in right now, because we have not walked in the things of God. We have not exercised the authority and the power that we have in Jesus Christ. We've let the world do their thing. We've allowed the seed of Satan to have control. Glory. Praise God. It doesn't have to happen that way. God has called his people to rise up and recognize. 400 years before Jesus, Isaiah 14 says this: therefore the Lord, or 700 years, I'm sorry, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. In Isaiah 9:6, it says this: for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. 700 years before Jesus. And then Micah 5:2 says this: but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. Hallelujah. I could stand up here all day and quote scripture to you. Words that were written hundreds of years before Jesus Christ came upon the earth. Prophecies about him. There is no place and no one else on the face, no book on the face of the earth that has these kind of prophecies that are absolutely come true. There are 60 prophecies, different prophecies about the Messiah that are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And there's over 300 references to the Messiah that Jesus Christ fulfills. It's impossible for that to happen. It can't be done. There is no way. And yet, we have so many unbelievers. So many who do not embrace the reality and the truth of the Word of God and the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. Our joy has come to us through the Savior, Jesus Christ. And we've got to recognize what it's all about. We've got to recognize that this joy that we have is not just a temporary joy, but it's the power of God to make a difference in our lives, in our family lives, in our communities, to know the power of God and to walk in that power. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I read a story about a lady who was shopping with her little boy, and he was about 3 years old. And suddenly she realized that the little boy wasn't with her anymore. And she was frantic, running around looking for him. And finally she found him, and he was looking at a display of the manger scene. He was just standing there, and he was in awe of it. And the mother runs over and grabs him and yanks him away from it. And he said, "But Mom, look, the baby Jesus." And Mom said, "Come on, we don't have time for such nonsense." Do we have time for that kind of nonsense? You know, we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of things. Get caught up in this world and the world system. But we have joy this morning, and we need to recognize that we can embrace that joy. Understand that joy. Have that joy. Walk in it. I've told this story many times before, but I think that it's important that we recognize that when it comes to the prophecies that are fulfilled by Jesus, it is absolutely impossible for one man to fulfill them. In fact, one of the stories that I heard in regards to this is the fact that it is statistically impossible, and I have figures, but I'm not going to throw this out to you. It doesn't mean anything to any of us unless you're some kind of a mathematician. But the reality is that it is impossible. However, there was one mathematician that said that for Christ to fulfill even just 8 of the prophecies in the Old Testament would be statistically impossible. And he gave the figures on it. And then he said, well, for you to understand, or for everybody to understand it, it'd be like this. You would take silver dollars and spread them over the whole state of Texas. Okay? How many know how big Texas? Texas is a big place, right? Yeah. Kathy knows Texas. Spread it all over, about a foot deep. And then you'd take one coin and you'd mark that coin and you'd mix it in, those coins, that foot deep coins all over the state of Texas. And then I would take Jim and I say, Jim, take as long as you like, but see if you can find that one coin. But when you pick one up, that's it. That's the only one you can have. That has to be the right one. And oh, I left something out. I'm going to blindfold you. According to this mathematician, that's how statistically impossible it would be for one person to fulfill the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. You see, the Bible is real. I don't care what the humanists, the atheists, the agnostics want to tell you. The Bible is real. And Jesus is real. And he wants to make sure that you spend eternity with him. Stand with me. Holly, I'm going to ask everyone to bow your head. This morning, as I've shared with you the purpose or the reason for our joy, and what it means to receive Christ as your personal Savior. He died in your place. You have to recognize that you're a sinner, and you're willing to say, I'm a sinner, God. I need to be saved by your grace through your Son, Jesus Christ. That's all there is to it. In fact, let me read to you, what Romans says. This is how you're saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's a simple process. You believe and you receive. But you also confess. So if everyone would just bow your head this morning. If you've never made that commitment in your life, and you'd like to this morning, just raise your hand because I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. All right, see that hand? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Is there any others? This is eternity that I'm talking about. We don't know how much longer we have on this earth. In fact, you don't know how much longer you have. Could be today. For anyone. Okay. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to pray. Everybody repeat after me, because those had a hand raised, and we just want to make sure that they're intact. And we can all repeat together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. He took my sins. I thank you for salvation in him. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're about to celebrate Christmas. I hope everyone's having a wonderful time, especially with family. That's what it's all about for me. I just love having my family. Amen. Enjoy. Praise God. Have a great week. Come back and see me next week. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.